So we're trying to figure out which is greater, either Hodas Baldin or Ha'adas Eidus. And we assumed that Eidus is greater than Hodas Piv, and we know that's certainly the case, because if a person incriminates himself, we're not going to put him to death. We need Eidus for that. So the power of Eidim is that much greater than the power of Hodas Baldin. That's as far as a death sentence is concerned. Then we can talk about Dini Mamonos. Here too we find that Eidus is greater than Hodas Baldin in the case of a Knas. Because Moda B'Knas is Potter, but if the Eidim testify that he's Chayev as a Ganav, let's say Kefal, he has to pay the Kefal. On the other side, the flip side is, we see that Hodas Baldin is even greater than Eidus in the context of a Karban Chatos. Because if there's a conflict between his piv, his admission, or denial of admission, or denial I should say, and the Ha'adas Eidim, as far as whether he ate Chalev or not, then he's not Chayav a Karban. On the other hand, if, let's say, he admits that he's Chayav a Karban, he's going to be Chayav a Karban. If the Eidim testify that he's Chayav a Karban, and he denies their claim, he's not Chayav a Karban. So how could Rabbi Chiya assume, based on his logic, that Eidus is greater than Hodas Piv, when in fact Hodas Piv is greater than Eidus, in the context of a Karban? Which would mean we have a Pirchon, the Kal v'Chomer of Rabbi Chiya. So the Gemara answers that Rabbi Chiya should be linked up with the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that if there's a contradiction, a conflict between Piv and Eidus, as far as Achalti Chelev is concerned, the Chiyuv Karban Chatos, then Eidim are superior to Piv. And Rabbi Meir says, Yechayev a Karban. Rabbi Meir derives this from the logic that we mentioned earlier. In the case of Eidim, he could be Chayav Misa if he's condemned to death based on the testimony of two Eidim, which is not the case if he himself confesses that he violated the Shabbos, for example, he would not be put to death. So in the case of a Karban, certainly Eidim should have the power to bring him Lidei Karban, which is relative to Misa, is Kal. And if Hodas Piv could bring him to a Chiyuv Karban, then how much more so should Eidus be able to bring him to a Karban? And that's the logic of Rabbi Meir. Now, once we link up Rabbi Chiya with Rabbi Meir in terms of Karban, then perhaps we can address the issue of not a Karban Chatos, but in this case a Karban Asham. And the halacha is that Piv will be Mechayev a Karban Asham. So if a person says, for example, I had in front of me two pieces of meat, and one of them was Chelev, the other was Shuman, and he says, I ate one of the two pieces of meat, I'm not sure if I ate the Shuman or the Chelev, then by virtue of his own confession, he will be Chayev what's called a Karban Asham. So if a person is Moda and he confesses that he violated an Avera for which he has to bring a Karban Asham, and there's a whole list of Averas for which you chayav a Karban Asham, then he has an obligation to bring the Karban Asham. And therefore it's possible that Hodas Piv will be Mechayev and Meshvua in the case of a person who denies 50 and admits on 50. But Eidim could not be Mechayev a person a Karban Asham. And that's a Mishnah in Masechta Shavuos. And if that be the case, then we see clearly from Asham that Piv is greater than Eidus, because Piv is Machayev Asham, but Eidus is not Machayev a Karban Asham. So now the Gemara answers that this is not a Pircha, because Asham Hainu Karban. Which means that once we link up Rabbi Chiya with Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that in a conflict, a contradiction between his piv and the Ha'adus Eidim, the Eidim wins out, and he's Chayv a Karbon. We found that explicitly in Rav Meir in the case of a Karbon Chatos. Now we're going to extrapolate to Karbon Asham, that to the same extent that Rav Meir says that the Eidim are Machayev him against his contradiction, a Chiv Karbon Chatos, the same thing will apply to a Karbon Asham. So once we postulate that Rabbi Chia embraces the sheet of Rabbi Meir, we're going to apply that not only to a Karban Chatas, but also to a Karban Asher. We're now on good standing, and Rabbi Chia has a very good Kalvachomer, and the Pircha against the Kalvachomer from Karban is completely irrelevant to Rabbi Chia, because Rabbi Chia holds like Rabbi Meir, and the Edom are believed where the Piv is not believed to be Mechayiv him a Karban. Let me just reiterate what we said yesterday, and that is the Chachamim say that he's believed against the Eidim based on a Migu, and that Migu is that he could have said, instead of denying that he ate Chalev, he could have said, I ate Chalev b'mezit, and that itself would accomplish the same goal, that he's not obligated to bring a Karban. And here we mention the Machlokas between Tosis and the Rashba. Tosis says that what does it mean when we believe him with a migu? How could a migu overcome or overpower, if you will, two Eidim? The Eidim say, we saw that you ate Chalev. He's saying, no, lo achalti. So Tosfos answers with what we call Tartzina Metartzina Dibure. What he meant when he said lo achalti was lo achalti b'shogeg el b'mezit. And if that be the case, there's no contradiction between the Eidim and his claim. Why? Because the Eidim only know that he ate Chalev. Did he ate Chalev deliberately or unintentionally? The Eidim don't know. So when he comes along and he says, Lo achalti shogeg el amezid, he's believed because he's not contradicting, undermining the Eidim's. But the Rashba has a different opinion. And the Rashba says, Yesh l'sareis es dvara. What does the Rashba mean? Let's say instead of the Nidon saying lo achalti, he says lo achalti klal. He adds the word klal. And he basically blocks the possibility of mitartzin in diburo. Because we interpreted lo achalti as meaning he didn't eat it this way, he ate it that way. He didn't eat it b'shogi, he ate it b'meiz. But now he's saying lo achalti klal, I never ate chalev. Neither b'meiz nor b'shogi. So according to Tosfos, in such a case, Kuliavalo Pligis Chayav a Karbon. Why? Because the Eidim are believed to say that they saw him eat Chalev, and he's not believed to deny that he ate Chalev. And in that head-on collision, there is no room to accept Piv against Eidus. Masha'en Ken, according to the Rashba, Misarsim is Dvara. We can change his words, and we can drop the word klal. And instead of saying a lo achalti klal, we're going to read it lo achalti, which means lo achalti me, lo achalti shogeg ela meis.
But how do you know what he ate?
Well, that pointing to the chalev, and they're saying, we saw you take a piece of this chalev and eat it, right? So he says, lo achalti. So what we're saying is, lo achalti shogeg, ele b'mezit.
Right, but if he says, lo achalti klal.
Klal, then Tosfos says, in that case, we have to believe the Eidim against him, because he's saying, I didn't eat it at all. What do you mean?
We have Eidus that you ate something.
Correct. Here's the chalev, and there's a bite in the chalev. Somebody took a bis of the chalev. And the Eidim say, it was you. And he says, no, lo achalti klal, I didn't eat it at all. Comes along the Rashba with a Gevaldik Chiddush, and he says that there's a halacha here of Lasaris as Dvara. But now the Gemara comes up with a different pircha on the Kal v'Chomer from what's called Chomesh. So let's just say a few words of introduction about Chomesh. So we're talking about a case of a person who ate truma b'shogeg, he's not a kohen, and he has to replace the truma, but not only does he have to replace the truma, but he also adds a chomesh to boot, an extra 20%. Now, there are two ways in which we could determine that he should be chayav a chomesh. One is by virtue of his own confession, and the other is by virtue of the testimony of two aid. So let's mention another case of chomesh. We mentioned the case of tachlume truma. There's another case, which is called kfiras mamon b'shvur. So Reuven comes to Shimon, he says, you owe me 1,000. Shimon denies it, and he takes a shvur to that effect. Then he admits that he took a false oath, he plagiarized, he perjured himself in the oath. So in such a case, because he took an oath that turns out to be a false oath, he has to bring a carbon asham. Now by his own admission, he has to pay the debt that he incurred, but he has to add an additional chomesh to that debt. So let's say the debt was 1,000, he's going to have to pay 1,200. Now that halacha of adding the 20% only applies in a case of piv, in a case of hodah spaldin, where he comes along and he admits that he owes the money and he took a false oath. If on the other hand two witnesses will come in and testify that they know that the claim of the claimant, being the Tovea, who is Tovea 1,000, is true, and they with their testimony support the claim of the Tovea, then in such a case, the Nitba, who is Kofar and took a Shvua to that effect, has to pay Karen, but he doesn't pay Chomesh. The only scenario in which the Torah imposes this additional payment of a Chomesh on someone who took a false Shvua, now admits his truth, is Zegufa, because he admitted that he took a false oath and he really owes the money. In such a case, Hodas Piv generates a chiv not only of Karen, but also of what?
Chomesh.
Of Chomesh. However, in a case where two witnesses testify against him that he sinned and he took this false oath, he will pay Karen by virtue of the Eidus, but he will not pay Chomesh. So the Gemara now is a perfect pircha. Since Piv has the power to be mechayev him in an extra chomesh, therefore Piv could be mechayev him in a shvua in the case of Modu B'miktas. But in the case of Ha'adus Eidim, since Eidus doesn't have that power to be mechayev chomesh, therefore it doesn't have the power to be mechayev a shvua. So that's the new pircha that's on the table here in the discussion of the Kal v'Chomer Reb Chiya, and that pircha comes from Chomesh.
Which shvuah are we talking about?
We're talking about a shvuah of Modu B'Miktas, let's say, or shvuah Seid Echad, or shvuah Hashomrim. In all cases, he denied the claim, he took a shvuah to that effect, and now he confesses his crime, he wants to pay up the money, he did shvuah, and he has to add an additional Chomesh to the payment. I'll read to you the pasuk in Chumash. It's in Vayikra Hey. It says, "O mikol asher yishava olav l'sheker v'shileim oso b'rosho v'chamishasav Yosef olav." And then at the end of the pasuk is Ashava Yavi, because he took this false oath, he has to also bring a karbon asham. Now, where does Rabbi Meir fit into this picture? We say that Rabbi Meir is very irritated when you say that if a person contradicts Edom, he's believed and the Edom are not believed. Edom can bring a person to Misa. What would Rabbi Meir say about this case where the Edom testify that he owes the money and he took a false oath when he denied that money, that claim, and he himself says the Edom are falsifying the truth, I never borrowed this money. I'm not chayev this money. So he denies the whole claim. So Pashtus, I would have said that Rabbi Meir in this case would say that the Edom are believed. And he owes the money. And if he owes the money, he has to pay the chomesh. Now since we've already established in the previous sugya that Rabbi Chiya holds like Rabbi Meir, and we're always going to apply this kal v'chomer of Rabbi Meir, quote, "In heviu shnaim liday misa is kol shkein that can maybe liday davar kal, which is davar kal is karbon." Now we're going to say it that davar kal is a chomesh. if Edom could testify against a person and condemn him to death under criminal charges of a capital crime, then how much more so can the Edom be believed to be mechayev him a chomesh? And we've already identified Rabbi Chia with Rabbi Meir. That's not a good sentence. Can you help me polish that up? Not identified Rabbi Chia with Rabbi Meir, but we've linked up Rabbi Chia with Rabbi Meir. What, I don't know what word to use.
It's a better word.
What do you say?
It's a better word.
Now you might say, Berzon, you're an Ibra Chacham. That's exactly the Gemara's answer. Ha, lo kasha, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Chia ki Rabbi Meir svirale. V'kihechi the mechayev, just like Rabbi Meir is mechayev a karban, in the case of Edom who testified that he ate chalev and he denies the claim. And that's based on the Kal v'chomer, that if Edom could be mechayev misa, then how much more so they can be mechayev a karban. Is therefore, says the Gemara, mechayev lechomesh mikal v'chomer. The same kal v'chomer, the same logic will compel Rabbi Meir to conclude that the Edom are going to be mechayev him a chomesh when he denied the claim and took a shvua to that effect. But what was the hava mina of this Gemara? Again, just on a mathematical level, the Makshan, who presents this pircha, held that although Rabbi Meir has his kal v'chomer, derives from his kal v'chomer conclusion as far as the chi of carbon, the Edom is certainly believed above him as far as chi of carbon is concerned, but they wouldn't accept the extension of Rabbi Meir to the case of chomesh. Why is that so? Meaning, what I'm really asking here is, what was the hava mina of the Gemara after you've already established that Rabbi Chi is standing on the shoulders of Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir is standing on the shoulders of the kal v'chomer, maybe li de misa? Why should Chomesh be different? Rabbi Meir, and in this case Rabbi Chia, who accepts Rabbi Meir, would certainly apply the Kal v'Chomer to Chomesh. What was the Hava Mina when the Gemara raised this question and then answered Holo Kash? So here I want to share with you the insight of the Shita Mekubetzes and the Ritva. Yesh lechalek bein karban lechomesh. The parashas chomesh ksiv. Again, we're going back to Vayikra Hey that I mentioned earlier. It says v'hisvada. Now, what does v'hisvada mean?
Admitted.
Right, a confession, admission of guilt.
Yeah.
Who is this pasuk referring to? Not to the Edom, they're not confessing guilt, but rather to the person who's being accused of denying a claim and taking a false oath. He admits the truth that he took a false oath. He falsified himself under oath, as we say. And therefore, in the Havamin of HaGemara, Lomar, this pasuk is teaching us, She'eno mechuyav ela alpi hoda'aso, that Visvada is setting up a precondition that the entire parasha of Asham, with all its nitty-gritty details, including Chomesh, is predicated on the assumption that Visvada, meaning he was Moda Odas Baldu. If you wouldn't mind, I think we had a Chumash here. Oh, here we have a Chumash. Just take me 2 seconds here, but if you don't mind, if you can open up to Vayikra Hey, and I think it's Pasuk Hey, it should say Visvada.
I have it right in front of me.
You have it in front of you? Where the Torah are?
Yes.
Okay, let's look in the Torah R.
We're actually in the Torah R, you see? And Yorkidesh Sham Lechad
Ah. Oh. V'hisvada. I don't know why I'm not finding it here. It's probably on the page.
Hey.
Okay. Ben hey. So what does it say? It says v'hisvada, correct? V'hisvada. And then it says v'hivis Hashem, etc. Now, Hashem here is a key word. It's a catchphrase, so to speak, that encompasses the entire parasha. It means Karen, Chomesh, and Asham. And it's all predicated on visvada. That's the precondition. That's the prerequisite. And what does visvada mean? That he had odah. He was in admission of the fact that he took a false oath and he really owes this money. And therefore, says the Ritva, Savra Gemara Lomar, the Gemara thinks that even Rabbi Meir would have to admit that in the case of Chomesh, which is part of this package deal called Asham, an Asham for a Shvur Sheker, that there is no possibility that he would pay based on Eidim. Again, keep in mind, Eidim is certainly, according to Rabbi Meir, much more powerful than Odas Pit. But nevertheless, the Torah says that the Machayev of Asham is Visvada, is the fact that he admitted that he had taken this false oath. Then we have Ashita Mekubetzes, who says that the Gemara thought to distinguish between Asham and Chomesh, Mishum Shechomesh Eino Ma'akav Esakapara. Chomesh is a separate Chomesh Gavra to pay up that additional payment, that fine of a Chomesh. But it's not indispensable in terms of the Kapara of the Karban. It doesn't mean that the Kapara of the Karban is conditional on the fact that he paid the Chomesh. The Karban would be Mechaper even in the absence of his paying Chomesh. And therefore, could be that Rabbi Meir would admit in this case that the Edom do not have the power to be Machayev him, the Kofar. Again, what we're trying to figure out is why the Gemara thinks in the Hava Mina that according to Rabbi Meir, who always defines Edus as being that much greater than Odas Pim, Rabbi Meir would admit that as far as Chomish is concerned, we don't listen to the Edom, we only listen to Pim. So the first answer was because of the Pasuk Visvada, that the Chiyuv of all the dimensions, the whole package of Asham, is contingent on his Hodah Visvada. The second approach, which is that of the Shita Mekubetzes, is a totally different approach. And what we're saying now in the second approach, based on the Shita, is that how do we define the role of Chomesh? Is it critical? And therefore the Karban Asham, if it's not accompanied by the payment of a Chomesh, it's an invalid Karban. It's not Mechaper. Or do we say no? That the requirement of paying a Chomesh, that's a monetary obligation that the Torah imposed on him because he went so far in his denial of the claim as to take a Shvur to support his denial of the claim. But that's a Chiyuv of Chomesh. That's not critical in terms of the Karban. So the Gemara thinks that since Chomesh is not ma'akev the kapar of the Karban, the Karban is mechaper even in the absence of his payment of the Chomesh, therefore Rabbi Meir is going to be moder that the Edim do not have the power to override him and be mechayev him a kofar. Why? Because even if even if he wouldn't pay the kofar, he would still achieve the kaparas hakarban. Let me just think this out one more time.
So what we're saying is that Rabbi Meir would admit in this case that the Edim,
because again, Rabbi Meir made a statement with regard to Karban HaMechaper, and he said that the Karban HaMechaper, certainly Edim are believed. But when we discuss Chomesh, we're not talking about a Karban HaMechaper, because the Chomesh is not Ma'akev in the Kaparas HaKarban. So the Kaparas HaKarban is meaningful in and of itself, regardless of whether he pays the chomesh. So if Rav Meir was making a statement about a chiyuv karban, namely that Edom could certainly be mechayev a karban within the context of kapara, that doesn't prove anything about chomesh, because in the case of chomesh, we're not dealing with a ma'akev es kapara. It doesn't have the same status as a karban. Now, let me suggest that the concept of kapara is identical with onesh. Every kapara, let me say it the other way around, every onesh is a kapara, is a mechaper. There's no such thing in the Torah as an onesh just for the purpose of an onesh, just to beat up a person and have him suffer because of his criminal actions. An onesh must be, by definition, a means to kapara. That's the purpose of an onesh. I can illustrate this from a principle called Ein Onesh Ben Adin, but give me a minute to get to that. Comes along Rabbi Meir, and he says the following. In criminal law, if we want to accuse a person and adduce evidence that he's guilty of a crime and therefore punish him, what becomes the paradigm, the ultimate, the pinnacle of evidence to establish that a person is guilty of a criminal crime, of a crime, and therefore he will be punished?
Eidus.
And I'll prove it to you. Because in the hierarchy of onshim, the most severe onesh is misa, and Edom have the power to mechayev someone misa. So when it comes to onshim, the kingpin, so to speak, is Edom. And that's Rabbi Meir. Now we have to ask ourselves the following question. Can we extend Rabbi Meir's logic as to the kingpin, the superior status of Edom, to prove and establish evidence in cases that go beyond onshim?
What does that mean?
In other words,
beyond onshim.
When we judge a person in a din, in a bezdin, let's divide this into two categories. One category is onshim. What we call in secular law, we call criminal law. There's another dimension to bezdin and to adducing evidence and establishing a final decision that has nothing to do with onshin. We're not dealing with criminal law. We're dealing with payments. When Rabbi Meir makes his statement that there's an absolute principle rule that Edom are greater than Piv, he was discussing onshin, says the Chidush Megubetzkis. In the other category of judgment, the Edom certainly play a major role, but we don't have an assumption that Rabbi Meir would say that the Edom are superior to the claim of the Nidon. So in the light of that discussion, does Rabbi Meir, attributing the superior position to the Edom, apply to the case of Chomesh? Well, Yesh Lachkar, where is Chomesh? Is it Dini Momenus? Or is it Dini Onshim? If it's Dini Onshim, then in criminal law, the kingpin, as we said, again, if you give me a better word, I'll be happy, but the ultimate, you know, the paramount establisher of onshim is Edom. And if Chomesh is part of the matrix of Edom, if Chomesh is part of the matrix of the constellation of onshim, then Rabbi Meir should certainly apply. So if this man says, I took a valid oath, and it was true, everything I said under oath was true. I don't owe the guy a dime. The Edom say, you falsified the Shvua and you owe him 1,000, like he claims. Then Rabbi Meir would certainly believe the Edom because the Chomesh is an onesh. It's a punishment. He cannot achieve kapara without the onesh of paying a Chomesh. But if I take another view and I subsume Chomesh under Dini Mamonos, and as it's part of the payment of Karen, it's Karen plus Chomesh, but it's not part of the package deal of Asham, And that Asham is part of the criminal law. Asham is the korban that's going to be mechaper as an onish for his crime. Then Rabbi Meir has no application to the chiyuv chomesh. Comes along the Shita Megubetzus and he says the following: in the Havamina, the Gemara believes that chomesh is not ma'akev in the Asham. It's not part and parcel of the kapara process as a punishment for his crime. It's a separate, independent category that belongs to the chiyuv mamon to pay both a keren and a chomesh. And if that be the case, we have no reason to assume that Rabbi Meir's kalvachomer would apply to chomesh, because Rabbi Meir's kalvachomer is rooted exclusively in onshin or in karbonos hamachaprin, which are all. They all revolve around criminal law. So in criminal law you have onshin, in which we beat you up or we put you to death. In criminal law we have a punishment for your crime. Let's say shogeg, you bring a karbon and the karbon is mechaper. In that context, Rabbi Meir says that the Edom are believed. They are the paramount or pinnacle of evidence, of credibility, because the ultimate onesh is Misa, and we believe the Edom. But if I postulate in Dini Momenos that the Chomesh is only Dini Momenos, it's part of the package of how much he has to pay for perjuring himself with the false testimony, with a false shvua, and the payment now consists of A plus B, it's Karen plus Chomesh, That's not Onshin, that's Dini Momenos. Therefore, we don't know. We have no reason to believe that Rabbi Meir's principle of the kavachomer would apply in the case of chomesh, because the kavachomer is all about onshin. That if they can be mechayiv from the onshin of misa, certainly they can be mechayiv from lesser punishments. But that has had nothing to do with chomesh, because chomesh is not a punishment. Chomesh is not an integral part of the karbon hamachaper, which is the karbon asham. So, if a person were to bring a carbon asham and he did not pay the chomesh, he would still nevertheless achieve kapara. So as far as the criminal nature of his false oath is concerned and the punishment thereof, he has fulfilled his punishment, so to speak, because he brought the carbon amachaper, he brought the carbon asham. If you ask me in Dini Momenos, does he have a chov to pay up the tovea, not only the keren but also the chomesh, the answer is yes. But we don't know that Rabbi Meir would say in that context that his kalvachomer should apply, and therefore the upshot is that the Edom have to be believed. We don't know that to be true.
Is it possible to
say? I just want to present the Shita Megubetzus to you. Yeah.
It's a knas.
Then let us go back to discuss the case of knas. We said that in the case of knas, Edom are believed. So the question is, is that based on Rabbi Meir? No, wait a minute. If the Edim are believed in... Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because Rabbi Chia's Kalvachomer was from Knas. Rabbi Chia also accepts Rabbi Meir, that we've seen over and over again. And perhaps we could justify the Kalvachomer of Rabbi Chia based on the fact that the Knas is criminal law. So, for example, when a god of pays Kefel, that's part of the punishment and the kapara that he has to achieve for his avera of stealing something. But then I'm going to be in trouble here with the Shita Megubetzus, because the Shita Megubetzus is saying that chomesh does not come under Rabbi Meir's logic. It's not part of the mechaper of the korban ashram. And Rabbi Meir only said it within the context of korbanos, of a chiyuv kapara. If I can assume that the reason Rabbi Chia establishes a kalvachomer that Edom are greater than Hodas Piv is based on Knas, then we're going to have to assume that Knas gives the Edom a superior status because it's an onesh, or more precisely, a mechaper. Now, if Kefel, in the case of a ganav, is a mechaper, then that's why we believe the Edom. Then chomesh, in the case of a shvua shav, shvua sheker, should also be a mechaper. It should also be part of the matrix or the constellation of onshim, and then we should apply the principle of Rabbi Meir. But the Gemara answers no, that the Kal v'Chomer of Rabbi Meir applies not just in the case of Karban, but also in the case of Chomesh. So it could be that in the Teretz, the Gemara is reinterpreting Rabbi Meir. That Rabbi Meir takes this Kal v'Chomer straight across the board. He's not limited to Onshim and Karbonos, Hamachaprim, but in general, even in Dini Momenos, Rabbi Meir would say the Kal v'Chomer, that if Edom could bring him Lidei Misa, how much more so can they bring him Lidei Chiyuv Mamon? And then we're going to apply the principle of Rabbi Meir, even in the case of Chomesh. Now the question is, what does Rabbi Meir do with the Pasuk Visvada? Right, we just opened up Vayikra Hei Hei to the parish of Asham, a person who denies a claim and then he takes a shvuah to that effect. Now he admits that he took a shvuah Sham, and the Torah says Visvada, right, he confessed. And the Torah says in such a case, he's Chayav a Chomesh in addition to the Keren. Now, what was the chiddush of Visvada? That the chiyuv of Chomesh is conditional on Visvada, on his confession. But now he's saying that Rabbi Meir applies his Kal v'Chomer even to the case of Chomesh, which means that the Edom are going to be believed to be mechayev him a Chomesh, even though he denies the claim. So what's Visvada? Right, let's go back to the Ritva that we mentioned earlier. What was the Havamina in the Gemara here that Rabbi Meir would not apply to the case of Chomesh? The Havamina was based on the fact that even Rabbi Meir would admit that in the case of Chomesh, the Edus is not valid, so to speak. It's not sufficient. Why? Because the Torah adds the word Visvada. That was the sheet of the Ritva. So if we take the sheet of the Ritva to its logical conclusion, then what do we do with the Maskana of the Gemara? The Gemara changes its view of Rabbi Meir and says that Rabbi Meir agrees. I'm sorry, Rabbi Meir's Kal v'Chomer applies not only to the case of Karma, but also to the case of Chomesh. So what do we do now with the, you know, Visvada didn't disappear. You know, it's in the Chumash. You know, now that we reinterpret Rabbi Meir, it doesn't mean we cross out the word Visvada. So what do we do with this word Visvada? What is it coming to enlighten us? He writes the following, again in the name of the Ritva. L'fi divrei HaGemara Rabbi Meir lo mein b'kal v'chomer. Shechayev gam chomesh. According to the Maskana, was saying that Rabbi Meir derives from this Kal v'Chomer not only Karma but also Chomesh. And Kain Ma Dorish Rabbi Meir Ma Pasuk Visvada. Yesh Lomar Sheim Lo Haya Pasuk Visvada Hayisi Omer Sherak Edim Yicholim Lechayev Asham VeChomesh VeLo Bodas Piv. Well, this touches, Yosef, on your question from before, whether or not Chomesh is a Knas. Because we have a principle of Modu B'Knas Potter. So if not for the word Visvada, would he be Chayav a Chomesh if the only evidence we have is his own admission? And the answer is no, because then it would be a case of Modu B'Knas. Achrei shekvar kofar v'nishpa b'bezdin shu patur. He already denied the claim that he owes money. He took a shvua to that effect. It's patur. Why would it be patur? Just 1 second. Ah, because it's hodas piv on a knas. Wow, we're going from one extreme to the other. Listen to this. Before the Pasuk Visvada, we think that his confession is meaningless as far as Chomesh. And I'm adding, because maybe Chomesh is a Knas. So that the only way he could be Chayav Chomesh is if the Edom testified that he perjured himself. The maskana is just the opposite.
The pasuk is the opposite.
That because it says visvada komashmalon, that he could be mechayev himself asham. And then according to Rabbi Meir, we're going to have the Kal v'chomer that the Edom could also be mechayev him in Oshon. So again, it seems ridiculous for the Torah to add the word v'svada if you go with Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir says everything depends upon the Edom. But the answer is, the pasuk v'svada is telling me a chiddush that if he comes forward and he admits that he's, you know, he owed the money and he took the false oath, then he has to pay the chomesh. And that's because of the pasuk v'svada. Notice, we're not going to apply the principle of modu v'knas pot. Now the Gemara offers another pircha to the Kal v'chomer. Elamalapiv, shekein eno bakchoshu bazoma. Tomar, and here we're going to look at the famous question of hazom and akhosh. What do I mean? The famous question. The Torah says that there's a system of checks and balances with regard to Eidus. That although Eidus is the ultimate evidence, there is a way of undermining the status of the Eidus. And what's that? Hazom and akhosh. Now again, I understand Hazama. If two Eidim testify Imanu Ayisem, then we don't believe the first pair of Eidim. That means that Eidus, in a certain sense, is vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And that lowers its power level. Piv is not subject to Hazama. So for example, if I would admit that on the first of the month, at the corner of 9th Avenue and Avenue K, I borrowed $1,000 from you. Now two Eidim say, well, on the first of the month, you were with us, not on First Avenue, you were with us somewhere else. I would still have to pay you the $1,000. So that's called Piv Eino Bakchosh Bazoma. In other words, no matter what testimony you bring against the Hodas Piv in a confession on Mamon, at the end of the day he has to pay. Why? That's how powerful Hodas Piv is. But Eidus is not so powerful, because we can undermine the Eidus with Hazama. And for that matter, even with Akrasha, let's say two Eidim come in and say that the Lova was with us. You know, it couldn't have been that on that day, at that time, Mr. So-and-so, the Lova, borrowed money, because the Lova on that day was with us elsewhere. And he didn't borrow any money. So this means that Eidus is a very vulnerable entity, and it can be removed through either Hazama or Akrasha. So wait a minute. So since Hodas Piv cannot be removed through what? Through Hazama and Akrasha. And yet, Hodas Baltimus Machayiv Mishru in the case of Mother Mixa, how much more so in the case of Eidim that could be removed through Hakosh and Hazoma? Ah, no, but just the opposite, right? This is the Pirchon the Kal v'chomer. So the Pirchon the Kal v'chomer is that Adarabba, how can you tell me that Eidim for sure would be able to be Machayiv Mishru on the Gashra? Eidim is lower on the totem pole, because it's vulnerable to Akrosh and Azoma, which is Piv is not vulnerable. But wait a second, I don't get what's going on over here. Is there some sort of Akrosh here? Let's say he's claiming that I borrowed $1,000. And the Eidim is saying, no, you didn't borrow $1,000, because you were with us at the time, let's say. So in this case, we believe Piv, and we don't believe the other's Eidim. Let me read to you the Rashba. The Rashba says, Shemedubar, what's the case? Shabaldin chazar mehoda asa. Now, first he says, yeah, I borrowed money from you. But then all of a sudden he wakes up out of a reverie and he says, oh, I remember that I paid you back. Is afal pichen chayav. even though he's denying his original Hodah, but based on his original Hodah, he's Chayav. But how does the Rashba see that in our sugya? I understand if he admits that he borrowed the money, and the Eidim say he didn't borrow the money, you were with us elsewhere, so he's believed. So that means that Hodas Piv is even more powerful than our other Eidim. But how does the Rashba know that we're talking about a case where the Valdin was Choser Bomi Hodasa? That's what I don't understand. All right, if somebody could give me... Oh, I always ask you for a pencil. You have one? Well, great. Okay. So...
Yeah, prepared.
You come prepared. Very good. Oh, shucks.
I was waiting for that moment.
Try to erase something, and it makes all these... Okay, so we later on Sunday, we'll try to pick up this Rashba and see if we can figure out what he's saying.